So today we're just going to think a little bit about what the Bible is, and particularly about the important question, what it can do for us, the difference that the Bible might make in our lives. We're going to have our first reading now, please, from 2 Timothy. You might like to turn to this in your Bibles. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1197. The Apostle Paul here is talking to a younger minister, Timothy. Thanks be to God, and thank you, Melinda. Now, if we have the next one up, please, Jonathan. Just look back at chapter 3 and the tiny 16. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. So Scripture, the Bible, when Paul was writing, he'd be thinking mostly about the Old Testament Scriptures here. Maybe some of the New Testament Scriptures didn't yet exist. Don't really quite know. But Paul is saying all Scripture is God-breathed, or some versions would say inspired by God. Now, in the original Hebrew and Greek that the Bible is written in, wind and breath and spirit are all the same word. So we could say the whole Bible is God-breathed or God-spirited. So just as my words are coming to you now on my breath, does our breath help make our speech, as it sort of goes over our vocal cords, maybe? Anyway, my words are coming to you now on my breath, aren't they? So it is that the Bible comes to us by the breath or spirit of God. The Bible's teaching about what the Bible is, and what the church has always believed about it, is that the church is God's word, is God's message to us. The Bible is God speaking to us today. So that what the Bible says, God says. Next one, please. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. That's worth knowing, isn't it? The Bible is a really, really useful book. In fact, it's vital. We really need it. So what can the Bible do for us? It doesn't just give us a load of irrelevant knowledge or tell us a load of stuff we're not interested in. It teaches us. It rebukes us. Now, who knows what a rebuke is? Ever been rebuked? Steve does, and Penny does. That's excellent. Do any of the children know what a rebuke is? Yeah? If Dad said to you, Monica, come here, I need to rebuke you! What do you think? What a duke mean, okay. Did you get rebuked at school? Did you get told off? Okay, so a rebuke is a telling off. It tells us when we are going wrong. It's a bit like being corrected, isn't it? So the Bible can tell us where we've gone wrong. It can put us right. It can correct us. It can train us in righteousness. I know some of you are great athletes. You train for sport. You might have football training, or you go to the gym or something. Well, the Bible can train us in righteousness. That is, in right living. How to live for Jesus. How to please God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. Okay, next one. So that the man of God, now that's probably a technical term for the pastor teacher. Remember, Timothy was a bit like a vicar. So the Christian teacher may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul is laying it on thick here, isn't he? Now, who's got a toolbox at home? Anybody? Yeah, two people. No, I haven't got one like that. I've got one that's sort of, you've got a handle at the top. Perhaps I should have bought it, but it drives me crazy because you flick it out and then a million things fall out of it. Most of which I have never ever used. But I like the fact that there's quite a lot of stuff in my toolbox. I feel fairly equipped with it, even though I don't know what half of the stuff does. And Paul is saying, well, the Bible is like that. If you've got the Bible, you've got the complete toolkit for Christian ministry. You've got everything you need. You're thoroughly equipped for every eventuality. Every tool you could possibly need for living is there in the Bible, in principle. It'll help you in every situation. Not that it talks about, you know, computers or the PlayStation or whatever, but that it tells you in principle, sorry if I'm boring you, Matt, tells you in principle how to live. When we've got the Bible, we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the point of the Bible, that God's people might know how to live. And it tells us very specifically what the focus of the Bible is in verse 15. It's important that we don't miss this, because the Bible is not just a load of information. It's not about how to fix your car or cook your dinner primarily. This is what the Bible is primarily about and for. Next one, please. The Holy Scriptures, Paul says, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Who knows what the opposite of wise is? What's the opposite of wise, boys? Shall I know?
Unwise.
Well, maybe unwise. Abby Wu. Foolish. Yeah, maybe foolish. Foolish or stupid, okay? And nobody wants to be unwise or foolish or stupid, do they? The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. They show us how we can be saved and rescued from our sins when we trust in Jesus, who died on the cross for us in our place so that we might be forgiven. The whole Bible is really about Jesus. The Old Testament looks forward to him, the New Testament looks back to him. And the point of it all is that we might trust in Jesus and live for him. Next one, please. So, Paul says, Timothy, this is what you should do. Now, you, your mum and your grandma, they were great Bible readers and they taught you the Bible. So this is what you should do. You should continue in what you've learnt and become convinced of from the Bible. That would be a good thing to decide to do today, to stick with the Bible and to continue in it, to get to know it better, and to pray that God would help us to live in the light of it. Well, next one, please. So that's a little bit from 2 Timothy about what the Bible is and what it can do for us. Next one. I'm going to see a little bit more from our psalm about that now, please. Thanks be to God. And thank you, Owen. The sound system is obviously on the blink, isn't it? Next one, please. Well, there's lots of goodness packed into that psalm. It would make an excellent afternoon Bible study for the grown-ups. It tells us titles of the Bible or the Word of God, particularly thinking about the Law of Moses, I guess, the Old Testament scriptures again, so what the Bible is, and then characteristics of the Bible, what it's like, and then effects of the Bible, what it does. So let's very quickly zip through some of those. Next one. So, remember Owen read out all those descriptions of what the Bible is, different titles for the scriptures, God's laws or statutes or precepts or ordinances. They pretty much mean the same thing. And then some things of what the Bible is like, perfect and trustworthy and right and radiant and pure and enduring and sure and righteous and precious and sweet. It sounds marvellous, doesn't it? Next one, please. So what we're particularly going to focus on from this psalm is just one or two more things about what the Bible can do for us. The effects or results of reading and believing and living in the light of the Bible. What can the scriptures do for you and me? So, next one. The Bible or the Word of God, it revives the soul. That is, it gives us new life. Life within. Without Jesus, we're spiritually dead. But as we trust in him, God gives us new life. The Bible can revive the soul. And of course, it's better to be alive than dead, isn't it? It gives joy to the heart. So the psalmist would say, if you want joy, of course we all do, don't we? But what you need is the Bible, he'd say. Next one. Now, this is a sculpture. Is this by Rodin? I think it's called The Thinker. Okay. It's meant to be a wise man. That's what we've seen before. The Bible makes wise the simple. Doesn't really mean the stupid there. It's not like if you read the Bible, you're going to do your maths homework better. What it's really saying is the Bible will help us to live wisely and well, to know what the right thing to do is in situations. It, the Bible is what the straightforward person needs to help them live rightly. It makes us wise. Next one. And then it is like a light. Now, excitingly, Jonathan, perhaps we can turn the lights off for this. We've got quite a gloomy day, haven't we? It's terribly dark in church, isn't it? And I like to buy a new torch every month or so because they never work and always seem to go wrong and be on the blink. So here's, do I have this for Christmas or did I just randomly buy it for myself? I'm not sure. Anyway, here is my new torch, which is quite busy in the total darkness. So the Bible, or Word of God, give light. So the Bible tells us that we live in a world which is often dark. It's got the darkness of ignorance. That is, we're often in the dark. We don't know stuff. We don't know God. We don't really know ourselves. We don't know how to live. But there's also the darkness of sin. Within us, there are things that are wrong and not right. Our hearts can be murky places sometimes. So the Bible tells us that we need the light. Now, what might we need the light for in the darkness? Or a torch, maybe. Happy with? To show us the way. Yeah, we can see with the light, can't we? We can see the way to go. Remember, we read at the beginning, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible gives us light. It helps us to see and understand and to go the right way, and it drives away our darkness, the darkness of ignorance and of sin. Fantastic. Well, we can glory in the lights again, please, Jonathan. We're thinking of having the lighting upgraded, but at least it's good to know that our lights are better than nothing, aren't they? They work to some extent. Okay, next one, please. Now, here's an amazing thing for the Bible to say. The Bible is more precious than much pure gold. It'd be good to have lots and lots of gold, wouldn't it? To have huge sacks of money. But the Bible is saying it's better to have a Bible than to win the national lottery and to be a multi-millionaire. Okay? I think I've probably told you this before, but when the Queen gets crowned, they give her a Bible. She's there in all her finery and glory, crown on her head, orb, scepter, and they give her a Bible and they say, here is the most precious thing that the world affords. Much better to be a Bible reader than to have all the money in the world. Next one. It is sweeter than honey. Who likes honey? Yeah? Tastes good, doesn't it? Sweet. Who likes sweets? Yeah? Well, the Bible is sweet. It really tastes good. It's good to read the Bible. Sometimes it does take a bit of effort and discipline, but it should also be an enjoyable, pleasurable experience that gives us life and joy. It is sweet and precious and good. And the Bible writers would say, well, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't believe me, give it a try. And maybe it will be your experience that reading the Bible is good. Our very last one. We read that prayer of the psalmist earlier. When we see God's light, we sometimes see the faults in us. And the Bible would say, well, turn away from your sins. Pray for God's help. These are great prayers to pray, aren't they? Keep your servant from willful sins that they may not rule over me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations or thoughts of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Remember, Paul said, Timothy, continue in what you have learnt and become convinced of from the Bible. Begin to pray that God would help us to find ways to do that. Amen. Let's pray together. So, Father God, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We pray that you would increasingly help us to understand, believe, and obey it. Help us to live in the light of all that we know, we pray, even when it's hard. Help us to continue in these things, to turn away from all that we know to be wrong and turn to the Lord Jesus. Give us wisdom and salvation in him, we pray. And we ask that your words might be increasingly precious and sweet to us, for your great name's sake. Amen.